Thursday, 24 September 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church, which is located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. For the last several days, we have been looking at the situation that developed over in the first church in Jerusalem when Barnabas gave a great gift and he was commended by the people. Ananias and Sapphira gave a gift and lied about it and paid an awesome price. There are so many practical lessons to glean from that text, but God help us to be honest, to be generous. In Acts chapter 4, the blessed Holy Spirit of God did several things for the disciples. When they had prayed, the Bible says, "And again, Father, bless us with thy word in Jesus' name. Amen." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that liked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. So according to verse 34, it was not just Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira that were selling possessions so that the others could survive. But according to this, as many as had lands, were possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. Then they gave the proceeds to help others who were in need. Remember, this has nothing to do with communism. Communism, they take from the folks that have and give to those who have not. In Christianity, we have generosity where we're willing to give that which we have so that the needs of others can be met. But what a prayer meeting, what results. They prayed, they were filled with the Spirit. God gave them holy boldness. They were in unity. They were generous. Those are characteristics that I want in my life, and I want in the life of my family, and in the Calvary Baptist Church as well. Well, today, God willing, we're going to continue our series on meeting the man. And we'll still be in the book of Acts, so if you were with me there in Acts chapter 4, if you'll turn with me over to Acts chapter 7, and we want to see how a man, a Pharisee, by the name of Saul of Tarsus, met the man Christ Jesus. I say this often because we have many times new listeners coming in. I don't want you to misunderstand. When I refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as a man, I'm not using profane statement like the man upstairs or something like that. I'm referring to what Paul wrote about when he wrote, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the man, he is the God-man, he's the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man." So this is in no way a disrespectful term or disrespectful use of the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today again, Saul of Tarsus meets a man. What kind of man was Saul of Tarsus? He was very religious. He hated, he despised Christianity, he despised Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ accused him, rightly so, of persecuting him. Well, when he meets him on, that is, Saul meets the Lord in chapter 9. But back in chapter 7 of Acts, we find the first report here of Saul. The Bible says, concerning Stephen, how he had testified to the good grace of God and what God had done. And when the crowd, when they heard these things, that's a religious crowd, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see heavens opened, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, that's these who were stoning him, and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. What an introduction to this man. this man Saul of Tarsus. And they stoned Stephen, in verse 59, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, this is Stephen now, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So our first introduction here to Saul is he's a young man. He's a Pharisee. He will testify to that later. He's a religious zealot. And by the way, I don't know of anybody who can be any meaner than a religious zealot that knows not the Lord, regardless of what brand of religion they might carry. Some of the most atrocious things in the world have been and are being carried out and will be carried out by people who profess to be religious, but they know nothing of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Stephen now is crying out, Lord, don't, I'm paraphrasing this, don't blame them for this, don't lay this to their charge. And then he fell on sleep, he died. Well, what did Paul do, Saul do? What did Saul do? Saul would later become Paul. So if I get the names mixed up a little bit here, you bear with me. And Saul was consenting unto his death. I think he was saying, throw those stones, keep on throwing. Death to you, Stephen. Saul was probably the cheerleaders for those who were stoning poor Stephen to death. Now the Bible says in verse 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now who is this all? This all, these are the members of the church at Jerusalem. So many had been saved. You know, at Pentecost, thousands were saved. Later on, thousands would be saved. So many people had come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, all of a sudden, this church is scattered. It's gone. The only people that remain back there are the apostles. The Bible says concerning Stephen's burial in verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Saul, oh, we're not through with him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Someone has said that this could have been because the church at Jerusalem was very, very selective in who they would witness to. They would not witness to the Gentiles. They certainly did not have any concern for the Samaritans. But as soon as they were scattered, Philip goes down in verse 5 to the city of Samaria and preaches Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Praise the Lord! Our Lord would see fit that the gospel would go into Samaria, and that people would receive it. We were just speaking about this recently in our services at Calvary. You know, when God's in something, he works on both ends of the line. He not only had stirred Philip's heart to go to Samaria, but the Holy Spirit had prepared the hearts of the Samaritans to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many folks got saved, and there was great joy in that city. There always is great joy in a city when people get saved and lives are changed. Well, many wonderful things were happening during this time as these folks were scattered. And the word, as soon as people would get saved, or I should say after they got saved, the word would go back to Jerusalem, that here's a group of believers over here. And this is the way the church at Antioch would be started, because some of these people went as far as Antioch preaching the precious word of God. And it would be at Antioch where the first obedient New Testament church would be established. God willing, we'll be getting to that in this series of messages. But we want to follow Saul now, this man who was a persecutor of the church, who was injurious by his own testimony. Oh, he said he did it ignorant and unbelief, but he was trouble for the church. I see our time is gone for today. that we'll begin, God willing, in chapter 9 after a brief review on our next broadcast. Father, thank you for thy precious word. Thank you for Saul meeting thee and you saving him. Thank you that we had the same privilege. You saved us. In Jesus' name, amen.